Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. And we'll have Steve Geller join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. In about 10 minutes, I guess, we'll have on with us John Summerall, the head football coach at Tulane. It's our Tulane Tuesday brought to you by Bayou Black Electric. So Coach Summerall will tell us about the big win over South Florida. At 5:20, Mark Schlereth, well, one of our favorite guests, Odyssey NFL insider. You watch him on television. He does the games for Fox and also is part of the Fox early morning coverage on the Fox network. He'll talk to us about the NFL, Saints, everything related to the National Football League. And at 6:25, Chris Dotson, who covers the NBA and the New Orleans Pelicans for Clutch Points, will join us and talking to us about the Pelicans. Had their big media day yesterday. And preseason game number one Monday for the Pelicans. Charlie, this is normally a short segment. Normally we'll talk Saints, but we won't get a injury report until tomorrow because it's Monday Night Football with the Chiefs. But we talked a little bit about it last night. I saw it pop up on I follow TMZ, and they take a lot of criticism for certain things, but, man, they sort of know you dead before you dead with TMZ. They broke the news last night that one of the all-time greats, Pete Rose, passed away, 83 years old. Growing up in that era and watching Pete, late 60s, 70s, early 80s, you cannot write that time frame of baseball without Pete Rose, such a big part of it. The Big Red Machine. I was not a Cincinnati Reds fan, but, man, I appreciated what he brought to the table. I think he gets maybe a little underrated for his talent. But people, his heart and his grit and his desire, he had all of that. But he was such a talented hitter. To listen to him talk about hitting a baseball was like a professor. I mean, you got what he tried to get across. I don't think anybody in baseball in my time frame maximized their talents more than Pete Rose. Did he have flaws? Yes. We all do in life. We all got flaws. Pete had them. We all got them. And I think it's sort of a shame for Major League Baseball not to have put him at least on the ballot and let the baseball writers fold him in to the Baseball Hall of Fame. You could do it posthumously, but, you know, he didn't get to see that. And to think about Aaron Torres, who covers baseball for Fox, he wrote this yesterday. He said one of the craziest stats for Pete Rose is that Pete had 23 consecutive seasons with 100-plus hits. A rookie this season would have to have a 100-plus hit every year from now until 2048. Now, Charlie, I do know one thing. I'm not going to be doing sports talk in 2048. You might, but I'm not in 2048. To think about the longevity of what he brought to the table, and he was such a competitor. Man, I remember watching late at night and see him in an all-star game mow over Ray Fosse, tried to block the plate. And he took a lot of criticism from guys in baseball and even old-timers about, why are you doing this in an all-star game? No, that was Pete. He was going to play to win, and it didn't matter. If you got in his way, you were going to have issues. The Charlie Hustle thing, perfect. It was the perfect deal for him. And you think about, you know, what he brought to the table. And again, if you watch the HBO documentary on Pete and his three parts, they kind of give you the good, the bad, everything in between with Pete Rose. But you can't write kind of from 1965 until mid-80s without talking about Pete as a player. And for the Reds, then he goes to the Phillies, and then they win everything there, and he finishes out in Montreal. But, man, Pete Rose was one hell of a player. Charlie, if you could have seen him in person, I know you've seen it on television.
Yeah, he was before my time, Mike.
But to see him in person, and he brought a certain persona about him, about people say, well, I give 100% every time I go to work. BS. That's not accurate. Not everybody gives 100% every time you go to work. Man, if you watch Pete Rose, I don't think you could have said that about him. Every time he goes, he hit that diamond. Man, he gave it to you what he got. And I think that's what made him endure to so many people. And he did it in Cincinnati. This was not New York City. This wasn't L.A. He did it in the heartland. Now, they have certain Cardinal fans that go back. Man, my grandpa and my dad talked about Cardinals. But middle America, Cincinnati, he grew up not far from there. And to have that type of career and longevity and to think about what he was able to do and just his talent, skill set, and maximizing all the talent he could out of that body.
So a controversial figure, for sure. I think you brought up a really good point, Mike. It's just like I've seen a couple of folks kind of talk about it on social media today mostly and a little bit, you know, last night. Does he now get into the Hall of Fame now that he's dead? I don't know. I think it's an interesting story because, like you mentioned, there's some players you can't tell the story of baseball about.
He's one of them.
Without him, right? And, I mean, I feel the same way about Barry Bonds, right? But, I mean, a couple of controversial figures that I think probably deserve to still be in the Hall of Fame despite their controversies because they are still a part and ingrained in the kind of story of baseball, Major League Baseball, the history of it. So I think it's possible. I don't know. Like, what do you think, Mike? Do you think he's going to get in now?
I think he'll get in.
I think so, too.
I think they'll put him in posthumously. I hated to see this, too. And they couldn't prove it. He got accused of it, and that was Ken Stabler in the NFL. That maybe it wasn't all up and up. Man, if you watch Ken Stabler play in the 70s, man, tell me he didn't belong in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Man, Ken Stabler was an unreal player for one of the elite teams in the NFL at that time, the Oakland Raiders. Ken maybe didn't get along real well with certain writers or certain personalities, but, man, they kept him out years ago. Long before you came here, Buddy DiLiberto was hosting Sports Talk, and we had on Paul Hornung, okay, the golden boy. And, man, Paul was as good a storyteller as you'll ever get. And he talked about he got suspended for betting on his own team. He got a one-year suspension. And he talked about how the league lawyers and Roselle tried to make him cop out other guys that were gambling. Paul was, man, I took my suspension, and I'm going to take my whipping, but I ain't ratting out nobody. And he knew there was other guys doing it. Him and Alex Karras got caught. But I think Pete maybe not telling the full truth once he got caught. I think we've went through that deal. But now you can't turn on a baseball, football, basketball game, even here with us on the Big 870 WWL, gambling.
It's everywhere, Mike.
It's part of the vernacular of sports. You cannot like it, but it's part of it today. We look at it differently today than we did back in 1989.
And we're look going at to it do, differently. Like our weekly pick six. Like obviously, we don't put money on this. We just kind of do it for fun. But I mean, the lines are there for a reason because people are putting money on it. So it's all over the place.
Yeah, you go to Atlantic City and Las Vegas. They don't have them nice casinos with the bright lights because they're losing money. That's all I can tell you. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. It's our Tulane Tuesday segment brought to you by Bayou Black Electric. And we'll have on with us the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Summerall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTille along with Charlie Long in studio while we're waiting to hook up with Tulane head football coach John Summerall. This is no shocker that the people involved with Davante Adams, star wide receiver with the Las Vegas Raiders, says he wants out. Trade him. Charlie, you and I talked about this. As soon as Antonio Pierce said, they got guys out there making business decisions, and I'm fixing to make a change real quick. We both said it. One of them that was going to be gone was going to be Davante Adams. People would say, would they trade him to the Chiefs? There's no way. I mean, you're not trading him.
I can't see it.
In the same division in the AFC West, because now the Chiefs have lost both starting wideouts in Hollywood Brown before the season, and then Rashee Rice. We haven't had the official word, but that didn't look real good with Rice running into Patrick Mahomes. And then you had Isaiah Pacheco, who's out 8 to 9 weeks with the broken leg. Would you trade him to the Jets? He does have a history with Aaron Rodgers. They have a pass rusher that they haven't been able to come up with a deal yet, Hassan Reddick. Would that happen? Or will somebody make him a deal here in the NFC to try to acquire who I think's still one of the top wideouts in the National Football League? But you could see, I think he's looking at this saying, man, we ain't going anywhere here in Las Vegas. Deal me somewhere where I can make a bigger impact as a player. And so be interesting to see what happens. I think when it gets leaked out by his own people, you know, it's just a matter of time before he gets dealt off. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, it is Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. The head football coach of the Green Wave, John Sumrall. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate y'all having me. Hope everything's going well.
Doing great, Coach. Man, I'm driving to do LSU pregame, and so I get a phone call, and you guys were up, you know, 7-0. And then, you know, I'm talking, and I get, man, next thing you know, I'm like, man, what the hell did I miss? Sometimes you draw up a game plan that you say, man, it's not everything perfect, but it's pretty close. At halftime, you know, with a 31-7 lead, we talked about this last week, so many experienced players on that South Florida football team, you had to be impressed with your team's focus, detail was there, and the execution out on the field.
Yeah, we were playing a really quality team. South Florida, I think I shared this with you all last week, but they had, you know, on that roster, they got out of their 22 offensive defensive starters, they got 16 seniors. You know, they got four other juniors, so they're really only playing two guys that aren't upperclassmen, and it's a group that's really kind of helped that program ascend. And you know, it was the opening game for conference play for us. We felt like we had played good in spurts as a team, but had not played anywhere near a complete game up to this point in the year. And it was really gratifying to see our guys just go out and execute at a really high level and sustain that level of play for four quarters. You know, we wasn't perfect. There's plenty of things to clean up. But all things said, it was a really complete performance by our guys. And hopefully gave us a glimpse of what the future looks like the rest of this year. We got to keep going and stay focused to getting better every day.
We saw it. A lot of people have asked me about, man, when is Mario Williams going to break out? Okay, you got it. Four catches, 94 yards, two touchdowns. Dante Fleming, seven catches, 128, scored a touchdown, averaged over 18 yards a catch. So, man, your two playmakers out on the edge, they came through big time.
Yeah, it's great to see both those guys get their first touchdowns in a Tulane uniform. Now, I didn't realize Dante had not scored at Tulane, to be quite honest with you, after the game. I wasn't here last year, so I didn't see how the season went in that regard for him. But man, both those guys have worked incredibly hard. They're both gifted kids, and it's been fun to watch them really execute at a high level. You know, Mario's had some big games receiving. Like, he had, I think, five or six catches for about 120 yards against Kansas State. He had pretty good numbers against Southeastern Louisiana. But both those guys, for Mario to score two touchdowns and for Dante to score and have the numbers he had, just a terrific day for both those guys. Really explosive pass game for our offense Saturday.
Darian Mintz, okay, you're going to go through the growing pains with any young quarterback. Sometimes he's looking like a redshirt freshman. Didn't look at that Saturday, man. When you 18 of 22 for 326, and I think the most important stat, zero interceptions. And so you have to be proud. You see the progress with him weekly, and there's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride with him. He's a young quarterback. Man, he's got so much potential as a player for you, Coach.
Yeah, we're watching him grow up right in front of our eyes, man. It's a lot of fun to have a front row seat for watching him develop and take the steps he's taking. He's a really driven kid. He's an intelligent kid. He's got great instincts and awareness. He's a tremendous teammate and leader. Guys sort of gravitate towards him. And he's playing good football. You know, I think you're seeing a guy, I think he's got 9 touchdowns in a year, and maybe, you know, that right now he's protecting the ball better, and it's fun watching him do his thing. I think he's got, you know, I think he's only going to get better and better as it continues to go. But really excited about the growth he's making, and it was fun watching him put on a show. You know, the quarterback on the other side last week was a nationally known guy and a really highly touted guy for good reason. But we felt like our guy was going to be more than good enough to go win the game, and he did a great job.
On the defensive side of the football, Jerod Henderson coming through for you. He's just a sophomore from, I think it's Spring, Texas, if my memory's right
yeah,
on him.
But that's,
man,
right.
Almost like he was more in the backfield than some of the running backs for South Florida.
Yeah, I tell you what's great about G. You know, when I got here in December and I started to get to know all the players and kind of studied who they were, and I found out, hey, who's done well in school, who hadn't done well in school, who's done well in the field, who needs to grow. Like, as you evaluate it, the feedback on G was, you know, hadn't done great maybe in the classroom, hadn't really shown anything on the field yet. And me and him sat down and said, hey, man, it's time to go. Like, we ain't got time to be wasting here. You got to grow fast and let's mature. And I kind of put him on a shot clock. You know, I said, hey, it's time to let's go shoot here. And so he really had a great spring. He did a good job in the classroom this spring academically, and then he also was doing a good job in spring practice and flashing and making some plays. And one of the greatest things I could say about G, you know, the way we operate here, we do some good on good periods even during the season in practice. We don't just practice only against scout teams. And when we do go against look teams, we usually send the twos for one side of the ball to the ones for a few plays, just so it's not all looks versus young guys, redshirt guys. Like, you're going to get a real look from a D lineman if you're an O lineman on the offense. And so early in the year, game one, our scout team player of the week, I call them job takers of the week. That's what we nickname it here. We call it a job taker of the week, is the guy that performed the best on the look team. He was the look team player of the week, or the job taker of the week, week one against Southeastern Louisiana. Fast forward to game five, and he's the defensive player of the game for our team and the defensive player of the week for our conference. And so, such a testament to a guy just continuing to put his head down, continuing to work. You know, I talk to our guys all the time, like, know your role for the week. Embrace your role for the week and be a star in your role for the week. And if you want your role to grow and you do that, your role will grow. Well, that's proof in the pudding right there. Like, the guy was on the look team a month ago, and now he's conference player of the week defensively and for our team. And it's just such a testament to his hard work and his commitment to just continuing to get a little bit better every day.
Coach, you kind of challenged the defense last week after that game against UL, and I think they responded obviously very well, holding a good USF team to 10 total points, but also 201 total yards, only 10 first downs. The defense had 2 turnovers as well, but then the rushing defense as well, which is something I think that you kind of highlighted too after that UL game, holding USF to only 26 total rushing yards in that contest. I mean, you had to be proud with their effort after you kind of challenged them last week.
But yeah, you know, that's a team, they ran for 206 yards versus Alabama. All right, and to hold them to 26 is a tremendous effort. And I had not been pleased with the level we had played on defense. I had left no secret about that, been very outspoken about that. And, you know, like you said, they had 201 yards of offense. Well, 51 of those yards came on one play. And so you take that play, we're sitting there going, all right, we gave up 150, you know. And really just so proud of the way our defense responded. We can't get complacent over there. You know, you got to stay hungry and play the game with a chip on your shoulder on the defensive side of the football all the time. In this game, you get every few days to get exposed or promoted. And if we don't come back with the same edge, the same focus and intensity, we'll get our butts handed to us real fast. So I'm really excited about the growth that group made last week, and they got to keep going.
Looking ahead to further AAC play, Coach, I mean, your schedule, it's just starting to get ramped up, obviously, and up next you have UAB, a 1-3 squad, but you're playing on the road. I mean, what can you kind of tell us about the Blazers early on?
Well, going on the road in conference is always hard. I don't care what the other team's record is. Another thing I'll say, you know, if you didn't tell me their record, I just turned on the tape, I just watched the players play, the athletes. man, this is a team that's got good athletes. They got great speed at the receiver, number zero, number one, number eight, all three of those guys. They could all play for us. I mean, they can all run. The backs are all physical and downhill. The quarterback's the leading passer in the history of the UAB football program. The O-line's a very veteran group, got a bunch of juniors and seniors on it, and the tight ends are both seniors as they play. So, you know, like I said, they got three seniors starting on the offensive line and two juniors. So offensively, they're experienced and they're talented. And then defensively, they've loaded up with a bunch of transfers. And you look across the board on defense, they're starting several juniors and seniors on that side of the ball too. So they're a veteran team, much like the team last week was veteran. It's a group that, you know, I showed the scoreboard to our guys from last year's game, coming into last year's game, Tulane versus UAB. Tulane at the time had three wins, which we have right now. And UAB had one win, which they have right now. And in the second quarter, late in the second quarter here at home, the score was UAB 20, Tulane 7. And with about 2 minutes left in the game, the score was Tulane 28, UAB 23. It wasn't like some big blowout. You know what I mean? It was a dogfight. And then you look forward to this year. They go to Arkansas, and they're up 17-3 at one point. All right? And it's 30-27 and late in the fourth quarter in that game. So these guys are talented, man. If we don't bring our A game, we're going to get embarrassed. And our guys got to, you know, refocus real fast and understand the challenge in front of you. You got to earn it every week. Nobody's going to give you anything. So our guys, I think they're ready for the challenge, but it's going to be a challenge. It ain't going to be a cakewalk.
Coach, one of the things we brought up before the season was about your secondary, because you lost some key people there from a year ago. And that has really matured into a really good group for you at both cornerback and safety. Maybe a little bit about their growth on the defensive side of football, because when you lose key people like that to graduation or to the NFL, okay, everybody's next man up. Well, the next man ain't as talented. You know, sometimes, you know, yeah. Hey, I hear it all the time. Next man up. Yeah, okay, that's great in the locker room and all that, but it ain't the real world. Your thoughts on, you see the maturity now with your secondary and them really stepping up their play from earlier in the year?
Yeah, you know, I like the talent we had coming into the year. I didn't like the experience. We lacked experience back there. Bailey DeSpaney Slim, who's from Karen Crow, he was our only returning starter on the back end of our defense. Everybody else is brand new, haven't played football here really very much. And so, you know, that group, we're playing four or five guys at corner, four or five guys at safety every game. And then we've played three different guys at nickel. Now we've got guys that are the primary starter each week, but we've been rolling guys in to make sure that we're keeping guys fresh and allowing them to play full speed and keeping them healthy. And that group's maturing. They're getting better each week, I think. Still got a long way to go, but I like the direction ahead of it. It's been fun to watch those guys step up and really kind of come into their own and get better with the experience they're getting. So we need those guys to continue to grow.
Coach, not only experience, but, you know, in almost 40 years doing this, a lot of it is communication today. Okay, because if you haven't played as a unit together, sometimes, you know, teams will do things, a lot of crossing stuff to try to confuse, you know, your secondary a little bit. And they haven't communicated because they haven't played with one another. They have no experience with one another at all. Kind of tell everybody listening about how important communication is. Certainly it is across the offensive line. At the linebacker position, but also in the secondary, because you get so many different looks today.
No, you're dead on. Well, I was talking earlier today about the number of different offenses you see. And on the back end, you know, you have to communicate all the way across the board. We play in a match coverage. We play in a zone coverage. We play in a match coverage that could become a zone coverage or vice versa based upon the action and the splits and the motions and, you know, alerting certain things. And probably the least appreciated thing it takes to be really good on defense is high-level pre-snap communication. I think the average fan probably doesn't quite understand the amount of pre-snap communication that has to go into playing really high-level defense. We played Oklahoma a few weeks ago, and I showed some of the guys. I'm like, guys, this is why they're good on defense. When you watch them, you can tell they've been in the same defensive structure for the second year now, or third year now, I should say. This is year three of that system they're in, because you watch them pre-snap and they're communicating at an elite level, and that's what great secondaries do. They communicate across the board based upon the split or the spacing or the motion about what's coming and what we're adjusting to. And so that comes with, you know, experience and time on task and playing together. You don't get that with just kind of sitting in a meeting room and maybe going through a few practices. You got to go get challenged against another team and kind of learn on the fly a little bit. And so they're communicating at a much better level, and I think covering things better for sure.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, and good luck this weekend against UAB.
Thank you, guys. Roll wave.
All righty. Thank you, Coach. That was Tulane head football coach John Summerall. His Tulane Tuesday was brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long. And I want to tell everybody, if you want to be in that number when the Saints host Tampa Bay and Sean Payton and Denver, enter to win WWL's Double Saints Game Day Giveaway. Score a pair of premium game tickets to both games, plus VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Events Group, open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win tickets to the Saints Tampa Bay and Saints Denver games from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints and WWL. Charlie, before we got Coach on, we were talking about Davante Adams. And okay, when that word gets leaked like that, that doesn't come from the team. That comes from people involved with the player. He leaks that to certain people in the media so they can run with it. And it gets out real quickly about a player wanting out. But we had spoke about this well over a week ago when Coach Pierce made that comment. I knew exactly where he was going with it. You don't say that for a regular guy. You're talking about somebody who's a signature player, and that's Davante Adams.
No, and some people were kind of anticipating that he was talking about defensive players and the defensive performance that they had put up that week, specifically the DB room, like the secondary. I mean, come on, guys. Like, Davante was at least part of that business decision comment. Maybe he wasn't just the sole person that was making the quote-unquote business decisions that Antonio Pierce was talking about, but he is definitely one of them. So, yes, he's officially requested a trade, as we kind of anticipated. Last week, we talked about the lines about if he is traded, you know, the favorites to land him. Obviously, the Jets are number one. Before we talk with Coach Summerall there, Mike, you mentioned his connection with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I think that the Chiefs are still a little bit higher than I would put them. I know that they need wide receiver, but why would you ever trade a star receiver to a division rival?
And they hate one another.
Yeah,
it's not dislike, it's hate.
That's like the Saints trading someone like Chris Olave to the Falcons. It just doesn't happen. So as far as, you know, where he could potentially end up, obviously a ton of different teams could use a talent like Davante Adams. ESPN's Adam Schefter had put this out recently, Mike, as well, about the price tag for him. He said ESPN sources, Raiders have informed other teams they would quote-unquote consider trading Davante Adams for a package that would include a second-round pick and additional compensation. So you're talking about like a second-rounder, maybe a day-three pick, right, like a fourth or a fifth-rounder, and that might be able to land you Davante Adams. Obviously, if the Chiefs really want him that bad, they're going to get upcharged. Maybe it's going to be a first and some extra stuff, but I still don't really see that happening. So maybe if the Jets want to potentially swing a trade, they're 2-2 right now, Mike. They had that embarrassing loss to Denver this past weekend. They should have never lost that game to the Broncos. I know that the conditions were terrible, but still, it's a bad loss, and it's one that could come back to haunt them at the end of the season. But if they want to go get their, you know, new wide receiver one, because Garrett Wilson's been a little bit underwhelming to start his third year in the NFL, then it might cost them, you know, a second round pick and maybe a fourth or something like that. Just, it seems like the price tag's been set, and it might be a little bit lower than what people would expect for someone that's a 6-time All-Star.
Yeah, and there's a difference between want and need. If you want somebody, okay, you're willing to go a certain level and that's it. If you need somebody or you need something, You're going to go more than that.
Yeah, pay a little bit extra. But, I mean, the question is, because I know Saints fans have already started asking this, should the Saints try and make a swing and move for Davante Adams? You know, it felt at times during that game against Atlanta, they're just, like, yes, Olave and Shaheed are great.
You'd love to have another piece in the catch game.
And they're missing the big body, right, Mike? They're missing the big receiver. They just don't have it anymore because Michael Thomas is gone. It could potentially make sense. I know that they were, I think the Saints were top 10, maybe even like upwards of top 7 in those betting odds via betonline.ag for Davante Adams services. You know, apparently the price tag has been set. So if the Saints want to make a swing move and go try and get Davante Adams, if they feel that they need him, that's probably what you're going to have to do.
Charlie, interesting note today with the Saints that they've signed wide receiver Jermaine Jackson, who we know more of as a punt kick return guy. They signed him to the practice squad, and they terminated the contract of a guy you know a lot of, former UL running back Jacob Cabote. And so interesting that they would sign Jermaine Jackson, who was impressive. I know people who had covered the camp in California. I know Deuce talked about him quite a bit, of his speed, his quickness, and his return skills. Not the biggest guy in the world, but that he is signed to the practice squad. Is this kind of the salvo? We may take a second look at maybe having Shaheed returning punts.
Yeah, I mean, that his mess up, and look, I don't want to dogpile Shaheed or anything like that, but that screw-up that he had against the Falcons in a punt return was what cost the Saints of the game. Effectively, when you spot a team 14 points, as Bobby said, it's hard to beat anyone. And that was 7 of the 14 points that the Saints spotted the Falcons. So, I don't know. I think Shaheed is still a strong special teams player. But yeah,
especially as a kickoff guy, I'm wondering if this isn't maybe a move as a punt returner.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they could be just checking their options, so to speak.
Oh, there's no question.
So,
no question about it. When you bring Jermaine back, because he was a late release by the team, and you bring him back and sign him to your practice squad, you thinking about something here?
Okay, yeah. And listen, Coach Rizzi will get a look at him. You know, if they want to roll with it, I'm cool with it. I trust Coach Rizzi almost more than anyone else on this coaching staff.
Yeah, no question about that. But again, I don't think this is the last we've seen of Jacob Cabote. I think Cabote will make a return somewhere along the line here.
To New Orleans?
To New Orleans.
Okay.
I think maybe a little nod, wink, wink. Hey, listen, we got to make a maneuver here. Stay sort of close. We'll get you back on the team. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Tulane head football coach John Summerall for coming on our Tulane Tuesday segment. At 5:20, we'll have on with us Odyssey NFL insider, former NFL offensive guard Mark Schlereth will join us. One of our guests, we really love to have him on, talk not only Saints, but across the National Football League. And then a little after 6:20, Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points in the NBA, he'll join us here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.